This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for being here today. When I launched my campaign for mayor, I said I would focus on fixing the basics and tackling the big, tough problems that the city has ignored for far too long. When it comes to Buffalo's fiscal policy, the good news is we need to tackle both. The bad news is Buffalo faces a deep fiscal crisis that has been brewing for nearly 20 years. Years of irresponsible budgets kicking the can down the road have brought us to where we are today. What does a Buffalo fiscal crisis mean to city residents? Vital city services and programs are facing cuts. That means less snow plowing, less fixing of potholes, less money for community centers, and at the same time, raising taxes. It doesn't have to be this way. But we can't fight this in the rear view mirror. We're dealing with the fiscal crisis of today, and we need to fix it. We have a once in a generation opportunity to change path in the city of Buffalo. I want to stabilize the city's finances, rebuild our reserves, and improve our vital city resources. This community center in the background is a case in point. Year after year of reduced services, reduced maintenance, reduced activities for the children and seniors in this neighborhood. I'll be sending out pictures, and you wouldn't believe the condition inside. If you want to come back when it's open, come take a look for yourself. We had an opportunity with millions and millions of dollars in federal rescue plans to rebuild all our senior centers, all our community services, but we couldn't do that. Buffalo squandered its opportunity, and we had to take that once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to fill basic holes in our budget. It's a result of years of failed leadership. We need to do things differently. We need to fix our finances, and we need to invest in our future. Buffalo needs a mayor who knows how to get out of the fiscal crisis. I was part of the team that came together to fix Erie County's finances after the infamous red-green budget. As chief of staff of the legislature, I worked with city and county leaders, and we put together a budget that stabilized the county. My work in Erie County helped Erie County go from a laughingstock to having a balanced and stabilized budget. When I entered into the state legislature, New York State was in deep crisis. We had to cut billions of dollars. We had to stabilize our budget, and we did it. Year after year, we've had stable budgets, and we finished the last three budget years with surpluses. As chair of the New York State Senate Committee on Commerce, Economic Development, and Small Business, I oversee a budget that's 5 times larger than the entire budget for the city of Buffalo. As a committee chair, we go through each and every item of that budget with a fine-tooth comb, always making sure that the spending has a return for the citizens and residents of New York State, always looking to spend money more effectively. That means prioritizing programs that create good-paying jobs, support New York State's workers, but bringing investments back to places like Buffalo. Buffalo deserves a mayor that'll do the same for the city budget. Here's what we need to do to get our fiscal house in order. First, we need to understand the scope of the problem. City of Buffalo does not know how much their deficit is. How is that possible? We need to call in outsiders to help us figure this out. We need to have the comptroller of the state of New York to come in to conduct an audit of the city of Buffalo. We need to bring in the outside experts because the city doesn't have a will to do it themselves. As day one as mayor, I'll ask the Fiscal Stability Authority to issue a report on available funds and anticipated expenses and request that the governor fill the current vacancies on the authority's board. There are 4 vacancies right now. I'll evaluate the money that's being left on the table for important capital projects by the city of Buffalo, because each and every year, the city fails to apply for available state money. Let me say that again. Each and every year, the city fails to apply for money that could come back to the city of Buffalo. We leave way too much money on the table. That needs to end. Next, Buffalo must work hand in hand with its partners in Erie County and the state of New York. As mayor, I'll build upon those existing relationships with the county and the state. We'll improve efficiency, we'll bring in more revenue, and we'll end wasteful spending. I'll also work with my relationships in the Assembly and in the Senate and with the governor to make sure that Buffalo's able to get back on its feet. I know how Albany works. I have the relationships. I have the experience. I will be able to produce real results for the city of Buffalo. I'll also be working with a common council to explore bringing back a participatory model of budgeting. The community needs to be heard throughout the budget process. And as day one in mayor, I'm going to review every city department, top to bottom review, figure out what works, what doesn't work, and cut every ounce of waste for programs that don't work for the city of Buffalo. We need to get rid of duplicative services. We need to crack down on cronyism and nepotism, ensure that there's more oversight on all state and federal funds that we use. And I'll work to modernize City Hall. We need to modernize how you apply for a building permit. We need to modernize how you apply for a permit to hold a picnic. Our residents deserve better. I've worked over the years to reform the industrial development agencies that too often were handing out tax subsidies that had no return for our residents. And as mayor, I'll lead a top-to-bottom review of all tax exemptions that are offered by the city of Buffalo and put forward recommendations to eliminate waste wherever possible. We need to ensure that Buffalo is prioritizing the delivery of services to places just like this instead of prioritizing political patronage and misuse of taxpayer dollars. We also need to relieve the burden of low-income homeowners. With the current administration recommending more property taxes, I'm working to create a program that's called a circuit breaker that'll insulate low-income and senior homeowners from the impacts of drastic property tax increases. I'll also work to make it easier for homeowners to pay their property taxes. Right now, you get this big bill. Super confusing, and it's all going to be paid at once. We need to make that so you can pay your property taxes in installments. This will help us relieve some of the foreclosures. Mostly these are seniors being affected by that, but the foreclosure problem is one that's very avoidable. We need to keep homeowners in their houses. Buffalo has been stuck somewhere between neutral and reverse for decades. It's time that we put it in drive and hit the gas and move forward with the city of Buffalo. I'm ready to bring my experience to the table to do what it takes to get our city's finances back on track so we can move forward again. Thank you so much for coming today. Does anyone have any questions? Jim Fink. No one can do anything alone in government. You always have to bring in your partners. So you need to have partners with the council. You need to have partners with the county of Erie and the county executive and the legislature. And you need to have partners at the state level with the governor, the assembly, in the Senate. So the only way you can solve Buffalo's problems is by bringing in a big team and not thinking that you can arrogantly solve these problems by yourself. That's kind of why we're in this mess. Tim McKinley.
Talking about cracking down on duplicitous spending and looking at programs that don't seem to work and things of that ilk, it almost sounds like DOGE. Do we need a DOGE for the city of Buffalo?
No, we don't need a DOGE. What we really need is a careful and considerate review of all the departments in City Hall. But this is one thing. Let me start again. We need a careful and considerate review of all the programs in City Hall. If you sit down with snowplow drivers, they'll tell you exactly how we can plow our streets more efficiently. They'll tell you what equipment they need to get the job done faster. You sit down with the City of Buffalo Fire Department, they'll tell you what they need to get their work done. And really, more importantly, if you sit down with the building inspectors, they'll tell you what they need to make sure they get the lead inspections done. They'll tell you what they need to actually have a proactive building department. So that's the efficiency we're looking for, is making sure that we have the tools in place to allow the workers in the City of Buffalo to do their job.
Just how would you relieve tax burden for low-income homeowners? Specifically, I hear a lot of platitudes, but not specifics. Specifically, how would you do that? How would you do that without increasing the tax burden for middle or upper-income homeowners?
So the way you do it is, for low-income people, mostly seniors who are property owners, you have to make it so their taxes can't increase by more than a certain amount a year. And if it goes over that amount, it flicks the circuit breaker. They will still pay those taxes, but it will be incremental increases for them, so there's not a big shock. And you see what's been happening around the city. They haven't kept up with their reappraisal process. So now suddenly you have houses in Lovejoy, houses in the First Ward, houses on the East Side, who are facing their first reappraisal, and you're getting values going from $50,000 to
$200,000.
Yeah, but the problem is they waited too long, and now you've got this shock to people who are living in neighborhoods where they bought their house for $50,000, and now they're being told, we're going to tax you at $200,000, and that creates a shock. That's approximately a four-time tax increase. People can't afford it. That's right. Yeah, you let them, if you're a low-income senior, you get to pay that increase incrementally. So it's not, you're going to be shocked the first year and you're living on Social Security checks. You make it so it goes up over a series of years.
You can already pay in installments, can't you?
You can't.
Not in the City of Buffalo?
No. Yes.
Hold on.
Can we come here?
Yeah. I'm Brianne Roger. I'm with Spectrum News.
Thanks.
In the beginning, you mentioned that the city has failed to
We should be concerned in all areas of state government what will happen if the federal government keeps recklessly cutting spending. So whether it's education funds, Medicaid funds, funds to clean up toxic waste sites. You know, right now we're cautious on everything, and we're waiting to see if Washington is able to stabilize or it will continue to be chaotic. Yeah, I mean, the short term is really going in and looking at every department of City Hall to see what they need to modernize, what they need to streamline, and to figure out if city departments are performing the same function that can be done more efficiently working together. So that's the short term. But it took us almost 20 years to get into this mess, so there's no magic wand to get out of this mess tomorrow. So it's going to be a little bit of time. But I'll tell you that one of the things we have to do is we need to, you know, increase our housing supply in the city of Buffalo. Every house you build brings more revenue to the city of Buffalo. And so right now we have over 12,000 vacant buildable lots. The suburbs are out of space. There's no more cow pastures in Amherst and Lancaster to build on. So pressure is coming back into the city. We need to make sure we can build those houses, because when we went on our generation-long demolition policy, each time we demolished a house, we took a few thousand dollars off our tax base forever. So one of the ways we turn it around is to increase our housing in Buffalo. This will allow us to continue to increase our population, which is good for our economy, but it's really good for the city of Buffalo's tax base. I wanted to come back to Jeff Kelly.
This is now the short-term, long-term question, which is, you're talking about sort of audits and reviews of departments, external and internal, but there's a budget looming right now with projected tens of millions of dollar deficit. What's the solution to that?
Yeah, the first solution is the city's got to come clean. They got to honestly say how much they are in debt. The city of Buffalo came up to Albany and talked broadly about their debt problems, but they didn't lay the number on the table. So they're asking broadly for help, but not saying what the problem is. And I cannot believe that the city of Buffalo can't figure out how much money they're in debt, how much they are out of balance. How is that possible? I know my household income. I know the state budget is in balance. How could you not know how much your budget deficit is? It defies logic. Dave.
You were talking about building homes in all these vacant lots. Probably put a couple over there, maybe one on the corner.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to drive around this neighborhood and find a lot of opportunities to put up new housing.
But for people who want to live in this neighborhood or any neighborhood in the city, you got to fix the schools. Now, I know you don't run the schools.
Yep.
How active does the mayor need to be in fixing the schools? Because it seems to me that, you know, there's stories, I know people, they get married and they decide to have kids, and then maybe for 4 years, and then all of a sudden they say, oh my God, we got to get out of here.
Dave, that's a very good question.
Well, that's kind of like the answer.
Yep.
But again, the question is, how involved should the mayor be, if at all, and how involved would you be in terms of the Buffalo Public Schools?
Cool. For far too long, the city of Buffalo has ignored its school system. It pretends that it has nothing to do with it. Its funding for the schools has remained flat for almost 20 years. Every year, the state puts in more money. The city doesn't put in any more money. And it seems the only thing the city does with the schools is they show up for ribbon cuttings. But they don't take any responsibility. They don't work with the district. They don't work with the district and employers and in colleges to make sure the Buffalo school system is the best school system. So right now, it's an ostrich mentality. You know, they pretend the schools don't exist and it's not a problem. But you can't get the Buffalo we want if you continue to ignore the schools. So you need to work closely with the school district. You need to work closely with the Buffalo Teachers Federation. You need to work closely with BOCES and other districts. So there's a lot we can do for the schools, but you got to get in the game. You know, they say that education is the third rail of politics. Stay away from education. I plan on being actively involved in education. I plan on using all the powers as the mayor of the city of Buffalo to influence education policy. But we need to also figure out, you know, income and education, they work together. So we need to make sure the economic development that we have in Buffalo is having good paying jobs are being produced to make it so families have more time to spend with the students. But for years, we've just ignored education, and that's going to stop.
Is it an opportunity with the new superintendent coming into the Buffalo schools?
Yeah, it's a terrific opportunity. We need to have change in how we operate our schools. Teachers will tell you how hard they work, how difficult it is, but there are programs all over the state. You know, the city of Buffalo is a member of the Big Five. The Big Five comes together, explores, you know, the best outcomes. But the city has got to get into the game when it comes to the schools, because we can't have the Buffalo we want if we just ignore our schools.
There are some textbooks in the school that still list Lyndon Johnson.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's something that's sort of mystifying, right? The district it's a big district. There's a lot of people who work really hard in the district, but we need to continue to promote the community schools model that the state allowed a few years ago. That's really helped. It brings services into the schools. It brings parents into the schools. It's a real 360, and you do that in conjunction with Say Yes. But one thing's for sure, nothing's going to get better if you keep ignoring the problem.
Sean, you made mention about some of the federal issues with cuts and everything, but one of the other federal issues that could affect the city of Buffalo is the continued tariff rift with Canada. I mean, what are your concerns with that element?
We've got to normalize our relationships with Canada. We can't be in a trade war with Canada. Buffalo's economy is so interdependent on Canada. You know, it's amazing that we're going down this route. I talked to the automobile manufacturers. We're all in Albany 2 weeks ago. I talked to Stellantis, to GM, to Ford, to Toyota, and they're all saying we cannot continue to operate our North America operations if we're going to be taxed every time we move parts from Canada to America and back, whether it's Detroit going over or from Buffalo into Ontario. The parts just go back and forth. You know, an aggregate company came in the other day and they said they have a plant on one side of Lake Erie and the goods get shipped into Buffalo. Something gets done. The goods then get shipped up to Lake Michigan on the other side of Lake Michigan, and then they come back to get finished in Detroit. And they said, under this current proposal, we'll be paying almost 100% increase on our product cost. So, we have to normalize. We cannot enter a trade war with Canada. It'll be devastating for the New York State economy. And one other thing to note is our electricity goes back and forth between Canada all day long. You know, at some point of the day, we're selling power into Ontario. Other parts of the day, we're bringing power in from Ontario. So the last thing we need is any dislocation of that, or to have Buffalo residents being paying a 25% surcharge on power. You know, that will break our economy.
Exploring the use of participatory budgeting, I think, is a $10 way of saying you want more people to come down and make their voices.
That's exactly.
Okay. City Hall's kind of an
Yeah, I mean, walking into City Hall now feels like you're walking into a fortress. And I remember, you know, when I was doing some neighborhood work, I would walk into Mayor Masiello's office and I'd sit in the waiting room and ask if I could talk to the mayor.
Right.
Now, when you try to go to the mayor's office, you're met with two closed doors and an armed police officer.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do to get an appointment. You know, that's got to stop. We have to be confident enough to open the doors to the citizens of the city of Buffalo. We can't be hiding behind armed police officers. You know, if a senior has a problem with their garbage pickup, they should be able to walk into City Hall and get an answer and not have to go through armed guards in order to talk to the mayor of the city of Buffalo.
What did John White in the city, whether that's absentee landlords, Allentown neighborhood and what some of those areas are dealing with, just blight in the city and specifically Allentown?
Yeah, I mean, you don't look over your right shoulder. This is a neighborhood. People go to work every day, and this is what they have to look at. And, you know, the next remedy, if the city continues what it's doing, will just be to demolish that house and to make it one more empty lot. But we need programs to aggressively go after absentee landlords who let their properties look like that. We need to activate the receivership program. These properties should be brought into immediate receivership the city stopped doing receivership. It's too much work. But instead, they let neighborhoods decay. We need more building inspectors. We need to deploy them strategically throughout the city. You know, it's been a ongoing saga of lack of code enforcement. Seems the bigger the building, the less code enforcement there is. Whether it's the Great Northern Elevator, the buildings in the cobblestone that have been empty for years that finally caught on fire, Amenay's building downtown, but scattered throughout our neighborhoods are things like that, that decay our neighborhoods. I mean, I don't want to live next to an abandoned, boarded up building. How do you feel paying your property taxes if you live next to that? And that's your city's return, is you get to live next to an abandoned building. But this is all fixable. You know, you have to say the job of the city of Buffalo is to do code enforcement, and that includes interior inspections, and that everyone gets inspected. Doesn't matter who you work for. It doesn't matter who your brother or cousin is. Everyone is subjected to inspection. And if you think abandoned properties are bad, which they are, you should also go look at the conditions of rental units where people are currently living in. There are homes that people are living in and paying rent that have holes in their roof, that toilets don't flush, electrical outlets that don't work. But this is a choice of the administration. You can choose to wrestle with these problems to help improve neighborhoods, or you can choose to continue to ignore these problems and let our houses and our neighborhoods decay.